Chapter 7. When you know someone a long time, you become accustomed to their idiosyncrasies, which is a fancy word for their unique habits. For instance, Sunny Baudelaire had known her sister Violet for quite some time, and was accustomed to Violet's idiosyncrasy of tying her hair up in a ribbon to keep it out of her eyes whenever she was inventing something. Violet had known Sunny for exactly the same length of time, and was accustomed to Sunny's idiosyncrasy of saying, "Freightship," when she wanted to ask the question, "How can you think of elevators at a time like this?" And both the young Baudelaire women were very well acquainted with their brother Klaus, and were accustomed to his idiosyncrasy of not paying a bit of attention to his surroundings when he was thinking very hard about something, as he was clearly doing as the afternoon wore on. The doorman continued to insist that the Baudelaire orphans could not return to the penthouse. So the three children sat on the bottom step of 667 Dark Avenue's lengthy stairwell, ate food they had brought down with them, and rested their weary legs, which had not felt this sore since Olaf, in a previous disguise, had forced them to run hundreds and hundreds of laps as part of his scheme to steal their fortune. A good thing to do when one is sitting, eating, and resting is to have a conversation, and Violet and Sunny were both eager to converse about Gunther's mysterious appearance and disappearance, and what they might be able to do about it, but Klaus scarcely participated in the discussion. Only when his sisters asked him a direct question such as, "But where in the world could Gunther be?" or, "What do you think Gunther is planning?" or,
"Ta-poing!"
did Klaus mumble a response. And Violet and Sunny soon figured out that Klaus must be thinking very hard about something. So they left him to his idiosyncrasy, and talked quietly to each other until the doorman ushered Jerome and Esme into the lobby.
"Hello, Jerome," Violet said. "Hello, Esme."
"Tretchev!"
Sunny shrieked, which meant, "Welcome home." Klaus mumbled something.
"What a pleasant surprise to see you all the way down here!" Jerome said. "It'll be easier to climb all those stairs if we have you three charming people for company."
"And you can carry the crates of parsley soda that are stacked outside," Esme said. "Then I don't have to worry about breaking one of my fingernails."
"We'd be happy to carry big crates up all those stairs," Violet lied. "But the doorman says we're not allowed back in the penthouse."
"Not allowed?" Jerome frowned. "Whatever do you mean?"
"You gave me specific instructions not to let the children back in, Mrs. Squalor,"
the doorman said.
"At least until Gunther left the building, and he still hasn't left."
"Don't be absurd," Esme said. "He left the penthouse last night. What kind of doorman are you?"
"Actually, I'm an actor,"
the doorman said.
"But I was still able to follow your instructions."
Esme gave the doorman a stern look she probably used when giving people financial advice.
"Your instructions have changed," she said. "Your new instructions are to let me and my orphans go directly to my 71-bedroom apartment. Got it, Buster?"
"Got it,"
the doorman replied meekly.
"Good,"
Esme said, and then turned to the children.
"Hurry up, kids," she said. "Violet and, what's-his-name can each take a crate of soda, and Jerome will take the rest.
I guess the baby won't be very helpful, but that's to be expected.
Let's get a move on,"